الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لا يزال لسانك رطبا من ذكر الله أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. Most respected علماء الكرام, brothers and elders, Allah Ta'ala had blessed us and has still kept us in this Mubarak month of Ramadan. And it is now barely hours, just now it will be moments, and then it will be gone. This entire time that we were blessed with, many a times a person doesn't realize what he was blessed with. Because it comes sometimes in a condition that everything is so easy for the person. And then apart from that, there is obviously the rewards and the true blessings are not something we can see with our eyes. It is in the unseen. As a result, we don't fully realize, even partly realize, what is the extent of this great bounty and blessing of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. For example, water is taken as one of those things and it's used, abused. But when there's suddenly no water, and Allah forbid if some days go past and there's no water, now the reality of the value of that water to some extent starts coming to mind. Ni'mat and bounty of Allah Ta'ala, this is that our whole life revolves around it. And without this water, we are completely in a difficult situation. So until that water was not sort of cut off from us for a while, we didn't understand and realize what this is all about. Likewise, when our life has cut off, and now we are gone into Akhirat, then we'll understand and realize what we lost out in the time that was not properly used in this dunya. And especially these Mubarak moments and the Mubarak month of Ramadan, that we just took it for granted. Well, the month of Ramadan has come, and I'm fasting, and I did what I did, and didn't do what I didn't do, and Allah forbid sometimes, and did what I was not supposed to do. And the time passed, but now the sorrow at that end will be too late. When a person has now passed this dunya and gone into Akhirat, now when the reality is open out, then it is too late. So now is the time, whatever time has passed, but there are these few moments, these few hours, moments left. Whatever best we can do of this time and turn to Allah Ta'ala, seek Allah Ta'ala's forgiveness, that Hadith Sharif which has been repeatedly quoted, that we should now be bringing to mind evermore. The Hadith where Nabiya Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam stood on the minbar on the first step and said Ameen, the second step and said Ameen, and then stood on the third step and said Ameen, and on each time after he descended, the Sahaba asked him, what was this that was said? We never experienced this before. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam explained that on each time I said Ameen, it was on the baddu'a, on the curse of Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam, and I was told to say Ameen. So now this is something to reflect on very deeply in these last moments, that where do I fare in the light of this? Which side of the equation am I on? Have I received Allah Ta'ala's forgiveness yet? We'll never know for sure in terms of that we can say with guarantee. But if we have made a turnaround in our life, we've made some decisions, we've given up the sin, we've made sincere tawbah in this time that Allah Ta'ala blessed us with, then we can have hope inshallah, and much hope in the mercy of Allah Ta'ala, that if we've made this turnaround, then inshallah Allah Ta'ala has forgiven us. Now that is the question, whether we have made the genuine turnaround. We know whatever we were stuck in, each one has his own issues, each one has to look into his own heart, into his own life. Whatever I was stuck in before the month of Ramadan, and Allah forbid that was still dragging on in Ramadan as well. So have I made genuine and sincere tawbah? Not just some lip service tawbah. Have I made genuine and sincere tawbah? And if it's something that I needed to get out physically from my life, have I done that yet? Have I deleted whatever needed to be deleted completely? Have I blocked off any haram contacts? Have I made this firm resolution in my life that I will never ever go back to it? And together with all this, the rukne azam, like for example in the case of Hajj, if a person went, he made tawaf, he made sa'i, he did a lot of things, mashallah, he didn't end up in Arafat. Whatever he did everything. He made a lot of tawaf, he did a lot of other things, a lot of amal, a lot of ibadat. Whatever happened, he didn't reach Arafat. So now he went for Hajj, but he didn't reach Arafat. Ask every mufti in the world, forget asking any mufti, any ordinary person too, who has the least amount of knowledge too, will tell him your Hajj is not done. Because the most important aspect of Hajj is to be in Arafat. Person is making salah, he just omitted his sajda. So now what kind of salah that is? Now like that person who went for Hajj but didn't get to Arafat, we'll say there's no Hajj. Because that's the rukne azam, the most important fundamental and obligation of Hajj. That time that he's supposed to be there in Arafat, in that particular period of time he was there. The rukne azam of Tawbah is an-nadam. To have remorse and regret over that past, of that disobedience of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, of that transgression of the law of Allah ta'ala, despite having enjoyed all Allah ta'ala's bounties and ni'mats, eating the food He provided, drinking the water He gave, breathing the air that He allowed us to breathe, and all the other countless bounties of Allah ta'ala, the sight is His ni'mat and bounty, the tongue is His gift, the hands and feet are purely Allah ta'ala's ni'mat, the mind which is allowing us to function as sane people, it's Allah ta'ala's bounty and ni'mat, His heart is Allah ta'ala's gift, all these countless bounties from Allah ta'ala, and how we conducted ourselves, what Allah ta'ala has been blessing us with, and what we have been doing in return. To compare these two things and bring this deep remorse and regret in the heart. What did I do? That is the rukne azam of Tawbah. So now we still have these few moments of this Mubarak month of Ramadan left. It's a time more than, together with everything, whatever else, amal, etc., Allah give us tawfiq to do, to especially make sincere Tawbah repeatedly. And that sincere Tawbah, the very important and fundamental aspect of it is this nadamat, the aspect of remorse and regret, giving up that sin, and the firm resolve never to go back to that sin in future. So now this is the very, very crucial part of what we are supposed to be focusing on for the way forward. Otherwise, that which that Hadith Sharif, when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, that Jibreel Alayhi Salatu Wasalam, he made this baddu'a, and the baddu'a was, ba'uda man adraka Ramadan falam yughfar lah. May that person be destroyed, that the month of Ramadan came, the whole month passed, and still he didn't gain forgiveness. Because he didn't even make tawbah properly. He didn't make any resolution to give up the sins. He didn't remove those things from his life. Imagine now the baddu'a and the curse of Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam, the ameen of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, in the Masjidun Nabawi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, on the Mubarak Mimbar. So we are obviously very concerned if somebody has cursed us in some way, and Allah forbid if somebody's parents, something came out of their tongue, then they won't be able to sleep, and nobody should be engaging in cursing. But imagine this is now the curse of Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam. So that should be the very, very great concern, that now how are we going to save ourselves from any such situation, that Allah forbid that curse falls on us. This Mubarak month Allah Ta'ala gave us, the Quran Sharif has declared this, and we've heard it over and over again, that it is for taqwa, to bring taqwa in our lives. Now, this is the other point of reflection, that to what extent we've acquired taqwa. So the first step of taqwa is the tawbah. And now to what extent we've brought this in our lives. The taqwa is what we have to carry along after Ramadan. Otherwise, if taqwa hasn't been acquired, then let alone after Ramadan, even in Ramadan, through our life will be something else. something right and something not right. And Allah forbid, once the moon of Eid is sighted, then it will be like as if Deen has gone. Let alone Ramadan has gone. It is as if Deen has gone. Why? Because what the purpose of Ramadan was, we didn't achieve. So the taqwa that Allah Ta'ala gave us to acquire in this month of Ramadan, the crux of it is to totally shun the disobedience of Allah Ta'ala. That is what taqwa is all about. To live our lives in a way that Allah Ta'ala is pleased with us. Not to involve ourselves in the disobedience of Allah Ta'ala. So now, this is what we must be very, very firm on from now and continue with. That is the istiqamat that is then required. This istiqamat, this is al-istiqamatu fawqa alfi karamatin. The great pious personalities, one of them, this is his statement, that istiqamat, many a times a person is looking for some karamat, some supernatural act. Maybe somebody, he can try to do something or does something which is out of the ordinary. Person is generally not able to do something like that. So we all get astounded. This person seems to be like he's walking on the air, and this person is maybe flying also. But a person can be flying how high? The biggest karamat is istiqamat. And not just biggest karamat, they say is greater than 1,000 karamats. That a person can do all kinds of things. The greatest karamat is istiqamat on deen, being steadfast on deen. And this is what the Sahaba had in their lives, that they learned something and then they had istiqamat on it. Let alone the fundamentals that they were very, very firm and steadfast on. Even optional a'mal, nawafil, some things they learned from Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, once they learned it, that was it. They then remained steadfast on it. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala an, he says that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came. It was after Sayyida Fatima radiallahu anha had gone to ask for some helper, some slave to assist them in their household work, etc. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wasn't able to, he was busy at that time, so she came away, she just mentioned it to Sayyida Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. After Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was informed about this, he came to their home. And then he said them the crux of the Hadith Sharif. He then said to them, Ala adullukuma ala khairim mimma sa'altuma. That you've come to request this and ask for somebody, a slave, if there's somebody available to help you all, can I show you something better? Now who is being presented this? This gift is being presented to the Queen of Jannat, who has to do all the household chores herself. And the details of it is mentioned in the Hadith Sharif, of what used to be the impact of all this work that she was undertaking on her own. And now she had come to request from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, her beloved father, who had the greatest love for her. And she came to request this. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is setting a pattern. And he asked them, should I tell you something even better than what you asked? They said, please do tell us. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam then taught them what is known as Tasbih-e-Fatimi. Said, when you come to your bed, when you come to sleep and retire for the night, then first recite Subhanallah 33 times, and Alhamdulillah 33 times, and Allahu Akbar 34 times. This is better for you min khadimin, than a helper, than a servant. They said, we are happy to take this. We are more than happy to take this. Now mashallah, this was a gift Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave them. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala an, in the time of his khilafah, now there's some almost 30 years that may have passed from the time that this incident happened. Almost 30 years later, he's mentioning this to his students and he's saying to them that from that day when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us this, to this day, I haven't missed it out once. That from that day to this day, I practiced on it with steadfastness, istiqamat. Never missed it once. This is the istiqamat on this amal that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught them. Sayyida Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha is once explaining the virtue of Salatul Duha. Salatul Duha at the mid-morning, the Salah that is performed at that time. So now she is explaining to whoever was there, her students, that what is the virtue of Salatul Duha. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to perform 8 rakats of Salatul Duha. So she says that that with the tawfiq that Allah Ta'ala has blessed, that I always perform the Salatul Duha. And to highlight to what extent she is steadfast on it, to just make this very, very clear to the students that she is now explaining this to, he says, Lord, Nushira li abawaya ma taraktuhunna. That even if my parents had to be brought alive, which won't happen, but supposing if this had to happen, that my parents were suddenly brought alive, now I would have been so ecstatic, so overjoyed, that my parents are back. That joy and overjoy as well won't prevent me from performing the Salatul Duha. In the midst of that excitement, in the midst of that ecstasy of seeing my parents again, I won't forget this. This is a nafil. But I will still make sure I perform the Salatul Duha, because I've been performing it ever since I learned it from Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now this is on the nawafil. But this is the extent of steadfastness, the istiqamat, because they understood that this is the path to get to Allah Ta'ala. Istiqamat on deen. One hadith sharif, Umme Habiba radiallahu ta'ala anha, the noble wife of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, she related from Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to her brother, Ambasa bin Abi Sufyan, that I heard Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say that the person who performs 12 rakats in the day, man salla ithnate asharata rak'atan fi yawmin wa laylatin, 12 rakats in the day, then Allah Ta'ala will build for him a palace in Jannah. Now the 12 rakats are referring to what we know as the sunnate muakkada, the 2 rakats before Fajr, the 4 rakats before Zuhr and 2 after Zuhr, the 2 rakats after Maghrib and the 2 rakats after Isha. This makes up the 12 rakats of the sunnat muakkada. So Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the person who makes these 12 rakats in the day, Allah will build for him a palace in Jannah. So now she related this to him, and he related it to his student, Amr ibn Aus. But now whenever Umme Habiba radiallahu anha used to relate this hadith, she should add one point thereafter. And she used to say, مَا تَرَكْتُهُنَّ مُنْذُ سَمِعْتُهُنَّ مِنْ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صلى الله عليه وسلم. From the day I heard Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam say this, from that day to this day, I've never missed it once. Now she's talking years later. Ambasa bin Abi Sufyan, he related to his student, whenever he would relate this hadith, he would add one line. مَا تَرَكْتُهُنَّ مُنْذُ سَمِعْتُهُنَّ مِنْ أُمِّ حَبِيبَةَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهَا. From the day I heard Umme Habiba radiallahu anha give this virtue, to this day I've never missed it once. And then her student Amr ibn Aus, whenever he related this hadith sharif to his students, whoever he taught it to, he added one line, that مَا تَرَكْتُهُنَّ مُنْذُ سَمِعْتُهُنَّ مِنْ أُمِّ حَبِيبَةَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ مِنْ عَمْبَسَى بِنْ أَبِي سُفْيَان. This was that zeal for istiqamat, that we learn something. Allah Ta'ala blessed us with the tawfiq of starting of some amal. So now this cannot stop. This must continue. So mashallah, this Mubarak month of Ramadan, with the barakat of this time, with the barakat of the blessings of Ramadan, Allah Ta'ala made it possible for us to start off many things which may not have happened for the whole year. So now that this started off, does it mean it should stop when the month of Ramadan is gone? That is the test now. That Allah Ta'ala didn't give us the month of Ramadan to then pack it aside, that now we'll see next year. We don't have any idea whether we'll be around next year. The month of Ramadan was meant to boost us so that now we continue after Ramadan. What we were finding somewhat difficulty in, what we became a little lax in. So all that with the tawfiq of Allah Ta'ala, that now Allah Ta'ala made it easy that we could start it off. Now that we started many things, mashallah, maybe tilawat of the Quran Sharif may not have been happening or hardly happening. Now in the month of Ramadan, we were reciting Quran Sharif daily. That daily recitation must not stop. Perhaps we may not be able to maintain the pace. The month of Ramadan, person was reading 2 paras, 3 paras, more than that daily. May not be able to maintain the same pace, but he must not stop the recitation of Quran Sharif. Even that one para that he's managing now, half a para, quarter para daily is not a hafiz. But that tilawat of the Quran Sharif is for life. So the istiqamat, this must continue, it must not stop. In the hadith sharif, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Ahabbul a'mali ila Allah ta'ala ma dima alayhi wa in qalla." The most beloved of actions to Allah ta'ala in terms of the nawafil, extra a'mal, the nawafil, etc., what there is constancy on. Person is constant, Allah loves that. And when a person is doing what Allah ta'ala loves, he'll become beloved to Allah ta'ala. Allah ta'ala loves those actions, the nawafil we're talking about, which he's constant on, even though the quantity may not be too much. But this constancy is daily. So the daily tilawat of the Quran Sharif, that is what this month of Ramadan came to boost us to start doing. And not to leave it after the month is gone, but to continue with it. So that should now be a firm commitment within us. Allah's kalam. And how does the life and the day of a Muslim go, that for the day passed and he didn't recite the kalam of Allah Ta'ala? And what not was read for the day? And how many hundreds, thousands of words, Allah knows best, hundreds of thousands of words were read for the day, but the word of Allah Ta'ala wasn't recited. So this kalam of Allah Ta'ala must be recited daily. And this is what brings the barakah in our homes. We are all the time complaining about some issue or the other, and the kind of difficulty sometimes come into the home, and the lack of happiness, lack of peace, lack of barakah. But there's lack of Quran Sharif also. There's lack of zikr as well. There's lack of ta'aleem and dua. There's lack of a'mal. So when that is lacking, so there'll be a lack of barakah. There'll be a lack of all the good things we are desiring. So we bring the good things alive that Allah Ta'ala has given us, that Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has taught us. We bring that alive in the home, and inshallah these things will come alive. The Quran Sharif, Allah has already given us the prescription, Ala bi dhikrillahi tatma'innul qulub, that with the remembrance of Allah Ta'ala, and the essence of that remembrance is Allah's obedience. The obedience of Allah Ta'ala, and together with that, all the remembrance in the various forms, tilawat of the Quran Sharif, zikr, tasbihat, it is with this that the hearts get peace and contentment. So now, the heart will get contentment through this, because with the barakat of this, the entire environment will become peaceful. With the barakat of these amal in the home, that home will become its little garden of Jannat. So when these amal are alive, everybody is performing salah on time, the tilawat of the Quran Sharif is taking place, there's time for zikr and tasbihat, all the agents of shaitan have been shut off, all the things that bring the shayateen into our homes, all those pictures that are coming onto those screens and whatever else, all these things are out of our lives and our homes, and these amal have come alive. Then we see the different situation in that home. Then we see the barakat and blessings coming in that home. The happiness and peace, the unity, the hearts being bonded, the good relationship that everybody has. This Allah has already given us the prescription that in the obedience of Allah Ta'ala do the hearts get this peace and contentment, because with the barakat of this, everything around us will become peaceful. Everything around us will become conducive to gaining that peace. So in any case, this is what this Mubarak month came to give us, that we need to come onto istiqamat. Come onto deen, acquire taqwa. Taqwa is to bring ourselves fully onto the obedience of Allah Ta'ala. Fulfilling Allah Ta'ala's commands, our five daily salah with jama'ah. It is wajib for adult males to perform that salah with jama'ah, unless there's a reason that Sharia has made valid. Not what we think for ourselves. What Sharia has made valid, for that reason a person didn't make it for jama'at, he's excused. But other than that, it is wajib to perform it with jama'ah, and the salah itself is obviously farz. So now this is the time to make this firm commitment. To start off with, we have to make tawbah if salah was missed in the past. Sincere tawbah. This was such a major thing. And to make up the qaza as well. And now this firm resolve that going forward, inshallah, thumma inshallah, we'll never miss a single salah. Say inshallah. And without a valid reason, it will never be missed with jamaat. So this is the most important commitment we have to make with Allah Ta'ala in this Mubarak month of Ramadan. Because this is the first thing we are going to be questioned about on the day of Qiyamah. If the salah of a person comes in order, inshallah the rest of things will also start falling into place. But if salah is being neglected, the jamaat is being neglected, that care and importance, that is not being given to salah. It happened, alhamdulillah, and it didn't happen, then too, it's like nothing happened. That is a very serious matter. So now this commitment with Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, that Ya Allah, going forward, I will never miss a single salah. And to give it its due importance, to try and be there early, make it with takbir-e-ula, all this is what's going to bring us closer to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So this istiqamat, this is what this month of Ramadan now has come to build in us, that we continue after the month of Ramadan, continue in staying away from sin. Month of Ramadan was not sin on pause. Sin on pause, that is like a person, Allah forbid, na'uzu billah, that a person had terrible conduct with his parents, and he's sometimes abusing them, sometimes swearing at them, and vulgarity at them, and whatnot. So now, after a while he says, okay, for 1 month I'm not going to swear all. After 1 month I'll swear all again. So any parent is going to be very thrilled about this, that he's decided to put all the vulgarity, all the abuse on pause. That this is now, what kind of games is he playing with us? On the one side, alhamdulillah, the person did not commit sin in the month of Ramadan out of respect for this Mubarak month. That in itself, mashallah, is very noteworthy and very good. But taqwa is not about putting sin on pause. Taqwa is about delete. It's about delete and keeping it clean. That resolve to keep it clean. And Allah forbid, if there's some slip up, then the person turns to Allah Ta'ala and sincere tawbah without delay. That is what taqwa is all about. So this Mubarak month Allah Ta'ala gave us, now that this time we were given to repair ourselves spiritually. Like the person sent his car to the workshop and it was in a terrible state, and now after 1 month of working on it, it came back almost good as new. So now he got it very, very bright and shiny and working with good condition, very good working condition. Now that he received it after 1 month of work, so now how he receives it, so the first day that he got it now, he takes one nail and he starts scratching all the paintwork. And then he takes one brick the next day and he smashes the windscreen. And then he's tearing the seats apart. So what will somebody say, what will we say to him if we see this happening? See, this person has lost his mind. After 1 month of work and so much of effort was put into it, all the sacrifice was made to repair this, and now he's tearing it apart himself. He's smashing the windscreen, he's scratching the whole vehicle up. We will say this person has lost his mind. Allah Ta'ala gave us this Mubarak month, allowed us this opportunity to repair ourselves spiritually. We were in a terrible state of disrepair. Allah Ta'ala allowed us to repair, gave us some opportunity to now fix ourselves. Now that this Mubarak month has gone, the salah gets missed. Person is now misusing his eyes again. He's watching filth again on his phone. He's gone to haram places. It's like the day that he received that car, he smashed it apart. So now if that we think about somebody else, that they lost their mind, what are we supposed to think about ourselves when this is how we conduct ourselves after the month of Ramadan? We need to now keep this in a state of repair. And Allah forbid, if some little thing went off, we maintain it immediately with sincere tawbah. In this way, inshallah, we'll reach the goal of getting close to Allah Ta'ala. We have no idea when moth will come. When our time will come out of the blue suddenly, when it will come, how it will come, we have no idea. We cannot take chances to go to haram places, to be indulging in haram, because at that time, if our last moment suddenly comes, we don't want to meet Allah Ta'ala in a state of that we are involved in haram, involved in sin, in some haram place. We want to meet Allah Ta'ala in a condition that we are in His obedience. We want to meet Allah Ta'ala in a condition that He is pleased with us. So therefore we have to be staying far away from all the wrong places, the haram environments, the wrong company, and turning to Allah Ta'ala in amal, keeping steadfast with our tilawat of the Quran Sharif, with zikr, with tasbihat, dua, keeping ourselves in the environment of the masjid, in the amal of the masjid. This is what's going to keep us going forward. Allah Ta'ala give us the tawfiq that this great month that came, which is still with us, we still have these few moments left, that this becomes a means of taqwa being filled in our hearts, and that we live with this taqwa after the month of Ramadan as well. And Allah Ta'ala bless us with the awana, and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.